The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello there, welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Mick Norton to look ahead to the best of the action on Monday. Just have a quick look back at Saturday's action as well, and a brief look ahead to a race or two at the Cheltenham Festival, which is now just 8 days away, just around the corner, and certainly creeping up on us, isn't it, Mick? How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Alex. Yes, we're into March now, and, a week on Tuesday, we'll be getting ready for the off, won't we?
We will indeed. Very, very exciting times ahead. And
I'm working Champion Hurdle Day, so
nice.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah. You'd have been forgiven for not being particularly excited about yesterday's action. Obviously, no sort of leading lights, if you like. Nothing that's going to affect anything at Cheltenham.
The calm before the storm.
Yeah, but at the same time, yesterday's fair was pretty competitive, and some might have thrown up a few pointers maybe for the Grand National.
Yep.
And there were some nice horses in their own right running.
Yeah, one significant stat. Well, it might not be significant, it might be just a coincidence. Mm. A certain P. Nichols didn't have a Saturday winner.
Yeah, you just mentioned that off air.
Not often we can say that, is it?
It's not something that you really consider, usually, but when you say it like that and you think, usually he'll have at least one, because he just spread his horses round as well, doesn't he?
Exactly, and he had runners at Doncaster, he even sent them up to Doncaster. Mm. So, just a
coincidence rather than
absolutely
out of form. Yeah,
yeah.
We'll just touch on a few of the winners from yesterday. I'm going to start with one just slightly sort of from left field. Clever Cookie won at Kelso, Peter Niven's horse.
And it's just never stopped improving, has
it? It really is. That's the word, an improver. And it's not going to be a horse that's going to take the world by storm, but it's being well placed at the minute on ground that it likes, and it's just keeps going, doesn't it?
And he put acres of daylight between himself and the rest, and you know, he had inform horses there behind him, like Hit the Top, Secret Stream, etc. You know, it wasn't as if he was beating trees. You know, it's a Grade 2 Class 1 novices hurdle, and he's just I think entry looks tailor made for him, doesn't it?
Yeah, you'd think so. Just a horse going the right way. And it's nice to see a smaller, in inverted commas, yard having a horse like that, isn't it?
Mm. And another good effort worth mentioning is at Kelso is that Jetmaster winning for the Alexanders, winning the race named after Cyril. And it was a brilliant ride by Lucy Alexander. Went off far too hard. Lucy had nothing to do with the early gallop. And she actually, bless her, made him look better than he is. And I just hope I hope the handicapper doesn't act on it visually, and rather acts on it on the way the race panned out for Jetmaster. Otherwise, he could be in trouble from a handicapping point of view. Mm. But all in all, it was a great result, great popular result for the Alexanders.
Certainly a very, very canny ride. Mm. What I would say is that the horse that, I'm not sure, I think it finished third in the end, Inugu. Looked the winner turning for home, and it's a horse I've been following pretty closely this season. Just at the minute, not finishing his race at all.
Well, he was £7 out of the handicap in a good Class 3 handicap, and I think he's run as well as you could have expected him to do. Mm. Maybe down a grade in the handicap proper.
Yeah,
he definitely wants to go into your tracker.
Yeah, you just need it to start finishing its races. It's done it on a few occasions, and
they make a lot of use of him, don't they? I can see why they put the £7 claimer on to reduce the fact that it was £7 and handicap, but I think he wants a top jock on him, you know, a Brian Ewers or somebody like that, and just give him a chance to get home.
Something that I spoke to Stephen Powell about yesterday was the fact that AP McCoy has chosen to ride at Fisher's Cross in the World Hurdle ahead of more of that. Well, I mean, we were a little surprised yesterday, but then we sort of weighed up the pros and cons of at Fisher's Cross and decided that perhaps if the horse can put aside his early season form, if you like, he's proven around Cheltenham.
I was going to say, you know, he's proven at the festival,
yes,
which is, for me, paramount, absolutely paramount. And I wasn't at all surprised that McCoy opted for him over the other horse. I don't think he'll win myself, but I can see why AP's done it.
Yeah. You mentioned form at the festival, which ties in quite nicely with the race that we're just going to have a brief look at now. I'll just give you a show of betting for the Fox Hunter Chase. Not a race that people often get wildly excited about, but you think you may have found some value here, Mick. We've got Mossy Joe, the 7-2 market leader, on the fringe at 4s, Harbour Court 6s, 7s for Tammy's Hill, 10s for Pearly Steps, 12 for Oscar Delta, and 16s or bigger the rest.
Well, we ought to be talking about Oscar Delta as the winner of the race last year. He was three lengths clear and showing no signs of stopping when he swerved at the tape and unseated Jane Mangan halfway at the run in with Salsify labouring in behind him, and yet he's double figure price for another crack. He's had one run back, satisfactory run back, needed the run that should have put him cherry ripe. I know Jimmy Manga will have him spot on the day, and he'll get expert assistance from the saddle. And I just can't understand why he's such a big price.
No,
I was talking about it with Gareth Topham the other day, and he didn't think Mossy Joe would run. Mm. That was his opinion.
Mossy Joe, of course, is in for the National as well, isn't he? So
yeah. So no, I think he's well. I backed a nice price winner on Friday. So with the winnings, I did some nice little anti-post each way as with the winnings, and Oscar Delta was amongst them.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Very nice.
You know that. I had a look back at that performance last year, and Jane did everything right on him, and it was just such an unfortunate incident for it to happen. And if any horse going to the festival deserves a break, it's Delta, Oscar Delta.
Mm. And of course, you're a big fan of Jane Mangan, and she's really come on leaps and bounds in the last sort of year to 18 months, hasn't she? And
yeah,
I still think as well is sort of undervalued, if you like, in the betting. I suppose she gets a lot of rides in bumpers and things like that, obviously, and you'll see the market going blind on something that Nina Carberry rides.
Yeah.
And I'd rate her just as good as Nina, you know.
Absolutely, and she can still claim the three, don't forget.
Exactly.
And what she doesn't do, Jane, is lose out in tight ones.
Yeah.
If it comes to a tight one, you can bet your life that Jane will get it home.
Yeah, so Oscar Delta will be getting plenty of help from the saddle, and 12-1 might just be a little bit too big.
And he would be a sort of popular winner as well.
Yeah.
Especially with the Irish, who really grieved for him last year, even though they won it with Salsify.
It was very unfortunate.
The sympathies were with the Mangans.
Okay, then we'll move on to three races that we're going to look at on Monday. None of these will be going into the Fox Hunters, I'm afraid. Three races at Kempton Park, and we'll kick off with the 3:45, a handicap over 7 furlongs with 11 runners down to go to post. Looks pretty competitive, this week.
Yeah, it does. I think Russian Ice is going to be popular. £3 lower than the last course and distance win. Nothing wrong with his last two run, with her last two runs, I should say. And you know, this 4 times course and distance winner looks as though she's running herself back into form, and certainly the mark is good. She's got an okay draw in 7. Maybe could have just done with a slightly better one, but I don't think that'll faze Robbie Winston too much. And she's going to be very popular and very hard to beat on the book. Others to consider are Athletic, who is back to a mark just £2 higher than his last win. He has gone close after a similar break in the past. He's had 89 days off since we last saw him, but he's usually better, this horse, for being kept busy. So it depends what sort of nick he turns up in Athletic, but he's definitely a player from a handicapping point of view. But I'm going to give the vote to Presumido. Simon Dow trains, Haley takes the ride. Very consistent gelding, the son of Ifraj, and he's run really well on his last two visits to Kempton, both over 5 and 6. Proved that he stays this trip last time, run really well over this trip on the last day, and is now a pound lower. And I think the hood just fizzed him up a bit as well. First time hood last time, that just fizzed him. I think Haley will be looking for a strong gallop to just get a toe into the race and produce him late. And nobody does it better than her. And I think he could go with... I think Russian Ice will be quite chunky in the market. Mm. I think Presumido might be a nice price.
Okay, then. I never know with that horse. Is it Presumido or is it Presume I Do? I've always wondered that, and we could really do with a commentator in to grill them. But we'll go for the Dow horse. We'll go that much in the 3:45.
Presumido will do for me.
Yeah, fine. Hayley Turner on board.
Yeah,
of course. Coming back to ride for the summer and just sort of getting in the swing of things, isn't she?
Yeah, she's riding well too, Hayley.
Yeah, very 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 steady jockey.
Absolutely, considering she can do 8 stone.
Yeah,
7:30 in at a pinch. Yeah, very strong.
Very strong. Yeah. Next up, the 4:15 handicap over 2 miles, a Class 5 event with 10 runners down to go to post. In these races, you often get horses that come up against each other week in, week out, don't you?
Absolutely.
Which one would you side with on this occasion?
Well, I like the way that Shalambar get the job done last time over course and distance. He was very well backed. He ran out an easy winner. He's got a £6 higher mark to contend with, but that might not be too much of a problem, as he has won off of this mark and higher over shorter, and appeared to stay this trip very well last time, and does save his best performances for Jim Crowley. So I think he's got every chance of following up, and comes here in good form, good solid efforts the last three, and I wouldn't be surprised if he does back up from that win of 12 days ago over course and distance.
Okay, main dangers?
Bert the Alert won a Lingfield Cellar 2 outings ago, but did run well off the revised mark in a handicap last time. Has won off higher in the past, respected being in form, and is 1 from 1 at the trip. So, just look as though he's going forward, Bert the Alert. Don't sort of knock him because it was only a cellar that he won. I think he's definitely going the right way, and maybe there'll be a bit more to come as they sort of exploit the fact that they now know he's very effective at 2 miles. So he's a player, probably be an each way price as well, one hopes. And the bottom one, Mighty Mambo. Now, he won Division 2 of the 2 miler that Shalambar won Division 1 of on that day 12 days ago. Used to be trained by George Margeson, and was placed 4 times in 2011. Missed all of 2012, back with Lorne Hill. That didn't exactly jump off the pages as a future next time winner, but it was a very slow time that day, so the form might have to be taken with a pinch of salt, and he's £6 higher as well. But he couldn't do any more than win it, and maybe he's going to start and going on from here with his new connections. So they're the three against the field, but I do think that Shalambar, with his favourite jock on board, is going to take a heck of a lot of beating.
Okay then, Shalambar the pick in the 4:15. The final race that we'll look at is the 5:15 handicap over 6 furlongs, Class 4 event with 11 runners down to go to post. One thing I would note here, Mick, is the just in general at Kempton tomorrow is the field sizes pretty healthy, aren't they?
Good. Yeah. All the three each way races, the three handicaps we've looked at, all good, solid each way races, and should be 3 or 4 to 1 a field.
Yeah, hopefully. So in this 5:15, where we're going to start with?
Well, we'll start with Valmina, who was fancied for the hat trick last time. Didn't really get the run of the race that day, and wasn't beaten far, it was only beaten, I think, 3, even though it only finished 7th, it was only beaten 3 lengths or so, and it's closely matched with Glastonbury on their penultimate outing, and Glastonbury is better drawn here. We'll get to her in a moment. He is at least back in the 70s, Valmina, which he has won three times, never won in the 80s. That last day was in the 80s. At least he's back in the 70s, and we know he can win in the 70s. So I wouldn't rule him out. I've put him on the shortlist. Max Power, I don't know what to make of Max Power. He looks as though he's back to something like his best on the last two. I mean, his last Class 4 win came off a mark over 79, and he can run in this off 77. And he's also won a Class 2 back in the day off a mark of 90 in his days with James Fanshawe. He's got a good draw. I mean, he does look as though he's going to be very hard to beat, but I do think it's going to be reflected in his price as well. So I'm going to take a chance on the aforementioned Glastonbury, who is coping well with life in the 70s. She's got plenty of useful form here at Kempton, well drawn. And if she gets the breaks, forget the last run, Jamie Spencer rode her, just got run into a wall of horses, and Jamie just eased her off and let her come home in her own time. Just forget that run completely. And if she gets the breaks this time, I could see Glastonbury being a powerful finisher. And I think she's going to reward us, certainly from an each way angle, at a decent price as well. So Glastonbury gets the vote in the 5.15.
Yeah, certainly not the most frequent of winners, Glastonbury, but so consistent that would have to be there as an each way bet, wouldn't
absolutely
it?
Yeah. Absolutely, especially with Max Power likely to be the sexy horse of the race. And
well, that's the thing with Max Power. I mean, looking at the official rating of the horse, sort of hovering around 100 and then sort of the high 90s, and then all of a sudden, in its last six runs, it's gone from 97, 95, 92, 88, 83, 75. Runs off 77, so back
reason,
up 2 pounds.
The only reason I haven't gone Banco on him is because he was beaten in a Class 5 last time.
Yeah.
Off that, what was it, £2 lower mark, I think, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah.
And so he's up in Class 4.
Yeah.
So
signs that at least he's
coming back
got
to something like
there.
His best. But he's no shoo-in.
No,
absolutely. Even though he's won off much higher in the past.
And this is competitive. So, yeah. Glastonbury, the pick there in the 5.15. Lovely stuff, Mick. Can you just run us through your three picks at Kempton?
Yes, in the 3.45, the 7-furlong handicap, I'm going for Presumido. I must ask Darren Owen what he calls it. In the 4.15, Schallenbau to back up his course and distance win of 12 days ago with his favourite jockey, Jim Crowley, on board. And I'm looking for Haley to do us a good turn with a double on Glastonbury in the 5.15.
Lovely, Mick. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.